Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, the Master Gardeners are having their weekly presence at the Art of Vino's Farmers Market in Sunland Park, New Mexico. That's a market that takes place every Saturday from 7:30 a.m. to noon. And the Master Gardeners hold talks every Saturday morning.
They sure do, with their garden talks on the patio at 9 o'clock in the morning, as well as their education booth, their information table, which is held through the entire duration of the Farmers Market.
And you can maybe, if you have any questions for Master Gardeners about anything going on, you can take some pictures, you can take plant samples. They are there for you to help you with your problems.
Yeah, and they definitely stock a nice box of publications and brochures to be able to give you further information on your landscape issues and your garden pests.
And, you know, when we have our live show, speaking of, we're going to have one next week. But when we have our live show, you know, we only have 15 minutes to take your calls and try to answer them. We always, of course, try to steer you towards the Master Gardener hotline if you need any more information. But if you can trap a Master Gardener at the farmer's market on Saturdays, I mean, that's a great way for you to interact with them and spend as much time as you need to have them solve whatever problem you might be having.
They can spend an entire 15 minutes with you, if not more.
And that Master Gardener hotline, by the way, I'll go ahead and give it out right now. And I'll give it out later in the show as well. That number is 566-1276. That's 566-1276. And if there's nobody on the other end of the line, of course, you can leave a message, right? And they'll get right back to you.
Of course.
Well, some problems that I understand the Master Gardeners have been dealing with lately as far as calls to the hotline have been sort of potted plant or patio plant issues.
Yeah, definitely. There's this really great, one of my favorite flowers actually is the Gerbera daisies.
They're really pretty.
Aren't they? Yeah. I like them too. I like them as cut flowers, and they also make really nice indoor plants as well. And some of them have like the dark circle eyes, which is a really dark brown circle, and some are really pale. But anyways, they're just a beautiful plant, I think. But yes, when you receive them or you have them at home as a plant, they really like that sunny location. They want to be well watered, but they don't want to have their roots or their pot, you know, soaking sloppy wet. So you want to make sure that you water that thoroughly. But then once that water collects in that saucer, don't let it sit for more than half an hour or so, and, you know, just dump it out. That'll really help with reducing any kind of root rot or any kind of fungus growing into that Gerbera daisy. And also after that nice little flower fades and it blooms, go ahead and remove that and cut that down towards the base of the plant. And that's going to really encourage a new flower to sprout up.
And it looks prettier, too, because, I mean, when you look at any potted plant that has flowers and that flower sort of dries out, it kind of makes your plant look sad.
Right, exactly.
And it's the same with geraniums, too. And, you know, sometimes when geraniums are in bloom, they're just, you know, in bloom all at once. And then that means all the flowers die back all at once, too. So you have sort of these poor little dead bits on your plant that just don't look very attractive.
They don't, exactly. And you know what? And the same goes also for even the cut flower arrangements. I think, you know, you really get a longer shelf life if you really do maintain your cut flower arrangement. And by doing that, it's really easy changing out the water, using that preservative that they give you, a little package when it comes with your flower arrangement. So you don't want to encourage any of that algae growing up into that vase. That's really also going to clog those stems and not have any kind of water transport to those flowers as well. And then, you know, if you're lucky enough to get a really big and a sizable flower arrangement, you can certainly going to pare that down over the course of several days by removing, like you said, all of those gnarly and black or drying cut flowers, because not all cut flowers are created equal. Some of them have a longer shelf life than others, and they peak and they move out. So you got to take them out, and your arrangement's going to get, you know, considerably smaller, but it'll look nicer because you'll remove all of that, those dead stems from there.
And I know I'm guilty of this because sometimes I just forget to water my patio plants. And, you know, maybe it's because, oh, well, I'm just going to wait until later in the afternoon when the sun starts going down, and then I just forget about it, which I'm sure I'm not the only one out there who's done this. Or, you know, it may be raining and you're thinking, well, I'll go out after it rains, even though maybe under your patio it's dry.
Right. Of course, that's really easy to neglect because I think overall we're seeing the, you know, that when the clouds are rolling in and the rain's falling, we think, oh, everything's great. It's wonderful. You know, life, it's coming back. And I too am guilty of that. I have a couple of plants that are in large containers that I'm holding over in a very shaded area of my yard. And it's because it had been so hot for such a long time that I wasn't going to risk putting them into the ground. So I just kind of had been keeping them in a really shaded area, watering them. But yeah, it's easy to neglect them if you're enjoying the rain. So you want to make sure that you water your plants thoroughly as well. And your plants may get a nice little flush of growth as well. Or depending if you have any succulents or something like that, be a great time to start dividing those.
And I know some plants are probably more forgiving of being neglected, I guess, than others. For example, I'm thinking more along, like you have a potted tomato plant. I remember when I had a tomato plant in a pot and you didn't water it, it would just sort of shrivel up almost right away. And then you'd water it and then, boop, it'd come back to life almost in no time. But like for something like a geranium, for example, there have been some times where I didn't water it for about a week and a half. And it still looks great, you know, but I still got to remember to water it because there's going to come to a point where it is going to start dying back because it's been neglected.
Right, exactly. And it's an interesting way to look at plants too is when plants are wilted in the morning, they haven't had enough resources or water to compensate to become turgid again. So they'll stay with this daytime or early morning wilt. And that's really, really a bad sign. Like that's towards the end of this whole plant's life cycle here. But keep in mind that if you do have a well-watered plant and it does tend to wilt during the afternoon, during those really hot, extreme dry periods, it's okay. It's just a way of it for to kind of compensate any kind of water loss. So that's what that leaf kind of curl or kind of a sad looking plant that it looks like. But if it bounces back in the following morning, you're good with your water status.
And if it's looking really sad in the morning, you might be in trouble.
You might be in trouble. Exactly.
Well, you know, with some of the rains that we've seen so far during our monsoon season, we've seen some cooler temperatures, and maybe that has some people maybe thinking ahead to the fall. And I think we might want to start thinking about maybe propagating some seeds, sowing seeds inside just to get ready for that fall planting.
Yeah, definitely. We'll talk a little bit maybe about some vegetables that you can start. Now, you want enough time to prepare to get this nice fall window of plants. For things like spinach or kale, you want to start those about 4 to 5 weeks before you're going to transplant them into the ground. So really you're going to start thinking about it about right now so that when you go to the store, you can select the best seeds that you want to use and, you know, pick seeds that are packaged for this year. I mean, you're really going to set yourself up to really have, you know, the best germination rate out there because propagating from home, it can be a challenge. You need to be able to do some hit or miss and find that right location to get those seeds to germinate.
So what's sort of the basic package of ingredients that you're going to need other than your seeds in order to start them at home? Where's square one?
Yeah, I'm definitely really conservative when it comes to propagating seeds, and I recommend not to use recycled potting soil. Really start with a fresh potting soil that's specifically for starting seedling mix. And really what you're going to do with that is that it's going to be a very loose potting soil with starter nutrients on there. And that way you can kind of give that plant a boost because you don't want to add any extra fertilizer if you don't have to. It's all going to be in that mix before. And then you want to also start with some, you know, you can use repurposed trays. Just make sure that you bleach them out to kind of remove any kind of pathogens. And then start your seeds. But the most important thing is the light and the water. So it's finding that area, whether that's going to be a window sill, if that's going to be a covered patio, if that's going to be, you know, a sunroom or a garage with some supplemental lighting. You want to keep an eye on the light and the water. When a seed is germinating and sprouting and expanding, it's very susceptible to drying out. So if any kind of stress that happens during that very delicate stage, you're not going to get any kind of germination and you're not going to see any leaves coming up.
And you were talking about sort of the loose soil that comes with sort of this seedling starter bit. Well, what if you're the kind of things I need to pack the soil? Do you need to pack the soil down after you planted the seed, or do you want to leave it sort of loose?
Yeah, you want to definitely leave that loose, and then you want to pre-moisten that soil as well, because the soil mix is kind of dusty, if you will. It's not dust, but you don't want to pack it your soil into little compacted cells on that. You want to leave that loose. You want to be able to allow that water and that air to kind of flow into those little trays that you started. So don't pack it in, but also a good starting tip would be to pre-moisten the soil that you're going to use. And that's going to allow for a little bit of that dust reduction to be easier to work with. And you can certainly put in your seeds on there. You can sprinkle your seeds on top and then add another layer of potting soil on there, depending on the package directions. Some people have little nifty tools that they'll use. Maybe the end of a pencil works really well if you're trying to estimate what a half an inch looks like or something. You can make those pre-drilled holes using that tip of your pencil on there. But that's also, you know, a couple of tips that you can use. Don't be afraid to be a little bit generous when you're planting your seeds. Don't feel that you need to zero in on one seed per cell. You know, add a couple, two or three on that, depending on the size of the seeds and your eyesight too, because some of those seeds can be really tiny. But don't. It's okay. Sprinkle them in there, and then you want to make sure that you sprout them up, and you can always thin them out. It's okay.
Don't feel bad about it.
Yeah, don't feel bad about that, because you know your efforts. It's going to take you time and effort to get those plants germinated. So it's okay to overcompensate.
And you kind of want to sort of keep the moisture level constant, right? You don't want to get it. You don't want it to get too dry, and you don't want it to be too wet.
Right, exactly. And the one way that you'll be able to do that as well is to put a dome over your propagation trays, and that can be in, you know, a repurposed soda or a water bottle where you kind of cut it in half and make a dome over that area. Or some of the soil starting kits come with an actual tray that fits over the tray. So you want to keep that humidity in. That's going to reduce your watering, and it's going to really get your seeds off to the right start.
And I bet you online you can find some sort of neat sort of little do-it-yourself tips on how you can start seeds at home without having to spend too much money on, you know, specialty this, that, or the other.
Yes, and our very own Paso Master Gardener propagation specialists have a great little worksheet set up for you and a timeline for you to set up for starting your seeds for fall. So we can definitely get that link up there.
Yeah, that would be terrific. And, you know, people can again call the Master Gardener hotline at 566-1276, 566-1276. If they have any questions about starting seeds at home, it's something I've never done, but I never thought I'd plant roses. I never thought I'd grow a tomato plant. So you never know. Maybe one day I'll start growing a vegetable, but that means I'd have to actually start having my household eat vegetables more often, right, which is probably more of a challenge than growing them.
Right.
Well, we'll have that link for you online. And of course, don't forget to call the Master Gardener hotline with your questions. That number again is 566-1276. And Denise and I will be here live taking your questions next week.
We'll be able to answer all your questions in 15 minutes.
That's right. Yes. The speed version of Good to Grow.
Right.
Well, we want to thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.